Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And today we're lying on the beach, but we're also lying in a movie theater because it's all about the Oscars. This coming week is Oscar time, February 9th at, I believe, at 8 o'clock on ABC. We'll all find out who won the Oscars for the films of 2019. And we thought you'd want to hear what Lois and I thought. We're both very big moviegoers. Lois lives the movie theater. I visit the movie theater often. And we thought we'd give you our take on the movies this year. So are you ready, Lois? You're going to give your picks?
I'm ready. The trouble at my age is that who could remember the movies after I've seen three or four after? But I'll do my best. I definitely have opinions. There's no question about it. And it's interesting that when I see a movie and then I suggest it to someone else and they don't like it, I almost have to defriend them in my life.
It's a weird feeling because it's almost like a slap in the face. I have the same
yes.
issue where I can't understand it, but I try to get over it. But it is an issue when someone doesn't like what I like and vice
Me
versa.
Too.
If I don't like it and they like it. And by the way, we may make a lot of, we may lose a lot of friends after this podcast. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
But also, I want to point out, this is Lying on the Beach, so the facts aren't really that important here. It's kind of fast and loose. If you have seen the movie, you haven't seen the movie, it doesn't matter. You can still have an opinion, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we're not going to be held to that. So let's start off with the category, which is called Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role. The nominees are, I'll read the nominees, Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory, Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver in Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix in Joker, and Jonathan Pryce in The Two Popes. Okay, Lois, what's your pick?
Okay, so I thought each of these movies were fabulous. Ellie and I spent a lot of time, as you just mentioned before, going to the movies, because we saw a lot of these movies over the summer or when a lot of people weren't around, we didn't have commitments. And I thought each of these guys did an amazing job. But Joaquin Phoenix, as far as I'm concerned, transformed himself into something else that is beyond description. And a lot of people have said to me that they don't want to go see it because, there's too much doom and gloom, there's too much hostility going on. There's too much, violence. That was the word I was looking for, violence. But this movie is really about, as far as I'm concerned, a slice of life that most of us are not aware of every day. We all go about our business. We're all trying to, soak life for all it's worth. And we don't understand what a lot of people on the outside, how they're looking in and how their life is. And Joaquin Phoenix just is brilliant, brilliant.
So the Oscar goes to, in Lois's Oscars, goes to
Joaquin
Phoenix.
Now, can I say a little something about the others very quickly?
Well, let me give my
Okay,
pick.
Give
let's
yours.
Okay. I happen to agree with you 1,000%. Of the nominees right here, Joaquin Phoenix, to me, is a clear-cut winner. If he doesn't win, it'll be a robbery. I'm not saying I love the movie, but I love him in it. He really, really showed his acting chops, and Joaquin Phoenix gets my Oscar for that performance. However, let's talk about the other performances.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing towards it. We've seen Joaquin in, I think it was Johnny Cash and other roles, where he really adopts, the role. However, when he was walking up in the award shows that already have been aired, I mean, he kind of like has that look, with the way he sways, the way he tilts his head, the way he, twirls his hand. He has a lot of the Joker in him, but he still was able to make you feel that you were looking at someone else and not Joaquin Phoenix. And too often, you're still looking at the actor that so that's why he was so amazing. And by the way, I also just want to say, everything that supported his role, the costume, the set,
oh, yeah,
everything, they got every apartment, every other role, all the other clown characters were just so perfect that you felt like you were living his life, that you were like, you know, a distant relative that, like, didn't want to get too involved, but, like, you know, was very concerned about, you know, the character. It was really amazing. Okay, so I could tell you, for Pain and Glory, I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful movie, but it just, it was nothing that I think anyone's ever going to remember. That's just, I mean.
I felt the same way. I mean, I think Antonio Banderas is a terrific actor, and he's playing Pedro Almodovar, who is the director, but he's actually playing him in the movie, you know, kind of recreating his life. And they're close friends. I just didn't feel it was a real stretch for him either. It just seemed like just another little piece of him. And
that's what
my
I
biggest,
thought. Yeah, I thought
Leonardo
too.
DiCaprio. I think he was playing Leonardo DiCaprio. I felt that was, you know, that's probably very close to who he is. This will make a lot of people not like me. I was not a big fan of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I was super disappointed. I was looking forward to it, and I was really disappointed by that movie. So it won't be getting any Oscars for me.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah,
I love the movie.
Okay, here we go.
I thought the two of them kind of like were the love that we have for the movies. They were the Hollywood stars. Even though they may have played themselves a little bit, they brought themselves with their, you know, their dress and the scenery and everything to way back when in Hollywood. I loved seeing the valley and
that,
you know, Los
yeah.
Angeles the way it was, because I started going out to LA in 1954, before many of you who are listening into this podcast were alive, and that's the way it was. And I thought they both looked gorgeous. They both played off of each other. Brad Pitt, I think, in some respects, may have even been better than Leonardo DiCaprio. The scene when he went, you know, to this ranch that was near him and, you know, just visited the crazy hippies there and how he performed and the guts he had. I just thought he was terrific all the way through. I don't know why you didn't like this movie.
I feel Inglourious Basterds was the same thing. He wants to rewrite history. We've seen him do it once. There's no reason to do it a second time.
But why was the rewriting of the history here?
Well, that's not really how the Manson people, what happens to Manson
please.
People.
So what about the phase that all of you authors and TV personalities use? You have to suspend your disbelief or poetic license, please.
And Mike, look, we gave it to him for Inglourious Basterds. It was a very clever twist. To use the same twist again seems really cheap and easy. Plus, I felt it was like Leonardo DiCaprio. I've never used a flamethrower. Okay, let's have a flamethrower. It just seemed like they were having a lot of fun. I'm happy for them. It was probably a lot of money spent.
I loved it.
Good time had by all. And I think capturing Hollywood in you know, from years gone by, I thought they nailed it. It had that same sleaze factor that you see when you actually go out there, which doesn't, you know, of course Hollywood tends to, you don't see that when it goes to the movie, so it's fun to actually visit the way they recreated Hollywood. That part was terrific, but I thought the story, Leonardo and Brad, I was not a fan of the movie. So you and I are going to have to agree to disagree on that one. But we both agree on Joaquin Phoenix. Adam Driver, Marriage Story, any thoughts on him?
Everything that you just said about Once Upon a Time, I felt about Marriage Story. I just could not wait for it to be over. It was like a drain on my life. I did not like any part of it. You know, they were great actors. They followed the script. They did everything, but I don't see the point of that movie at all. I didn't like it. And Adam Driver, who I love, 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 you know, I almost didn't like it all. So that's my take on that one.
It almost feels like it's trying for an award. Like, we're going to do this very, you know, insightful movie to try and get an award. I don't know. I just didn't do anything for me. Then Jonathan Pryce in The Two Popes.
I thought that was a wonderful movie. It was entertaining. It was educational. It opened up. You're thinking to yourself during the whole movie, could this be real? Is this what's really going on behind the scenes? I want to know more. What will the future be like? How will things change? I thought it was great. And you?
I agree. I think he's terrific. Definitely an Academy Award winning performance, but I think in this case, Joaquin Phoenix is going to run away with it. So that's my take on that. Now let's do this next category I have issues with. So you'll hear my crankiness about this one. This is performance by an actor in a supporting role. The nominees are Tom Hanks in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins in The Two Popes, Al Pacino in The Irishman, Joe Pesci, The Irishman, Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What bothers me about this category is that none of these guys are supporting roles. They're all leads, pretty much. Tom Hanks is the whole movie in that. Anthony Hopkins is a lead character. Joe Pesci and Al Pacino are both lead characters. And Brad Pitt is certainly a lead character. So they're using this to be like, I just find it a really cheap way to try and get their movie another Academy Award when they're not really focusing on the supporting character, in my opinion. Your feelings?
I think it's just the way these roles came about and the way the movies were presented. But I guess, you're right if you think about it, but it doesn't...
They're all leads. They're all lead characters. All five of them are lead characters in their
movies. Well, this has always been a situation with, supporting and the lead characters. I mean, I could mention that over the years that I was...
It should be a special feature character actor that has a minor part but has a great scene. That's what this category is about. And these five gentlemen don't fit that. They're all 50% or more of the picture. Tom Hanks is the entire picture. It doesn't make any sense. And certainly Brad Pitt is, even with Leonardo DiCaprio, I don't see why he's a supporting character.
I didn't understand that either.
All right, so
anyway, who would you pick to get an award?
This is a tough one. I really don't know who's going to take away with it. I don't think it'll be Tom Hanks. It'd probably be Brad Pitt because I don't think he's ever won before, so they might just give it to him for that. But of these people here, I probably think Anthony Hopkins gave the strongest performance. But it's a tough call, I'll be honest. Because I feel like Joe Pesci played Joe Pesci. Al Pacino is always the same. Tom Hanks, did create a character, but I have a feeling the Academy won't give it to him. And Brad Pitt was, in my opinion, playing Brad Pitt. So the one who really was acting and showed some acting chops again, I would say, is Anthony Hopkins.
Well,
what do you think?
I think you're 100% correct, but I think that the Academy may give it to Brad Pitt. Because for some reason, the world is obsessed with him getting back with Jennifer Aniston. And he has absolutely no interest whatsoever. I think she would go back in exactly 6 seconds. But I'm sick of all these photo ops. Every place I go, online, offline, the stories about them. He's not going back. He's not going back to anyone. He wants to be set free. And it's just so I think like sometimes people use a hook, to get people interested in another topic. And I think Brad Pitt may be that this year. I know you think I'm crazy because people vote, but I don't know. They love him up there. He brings eyeballs. He was funny at the Golden Globes. I don't know. That's my opinion. But Steve, okay, you also skip actress in a leading role.
No, we're doing that next. Next will be actress and supporting actress.
Okay,
so performance by an actress in a leading role. The nominees are, and these are, this one's a couple of hard names to pronounce, Cynthia Erivo, E-R-I-V-O, in Harriet. Mm-hmm. Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story. This is a tough one, too. Ronan in Little Women. What's her first name? How do you pronounce it? Ronan in Little Women. Charlize Theron in Bombshell. And Renee Zellweger in Judy. So, Lois, the Oscar goes to...
I'm sure you agree, Renee Zellweger. here, we started the movie, and for the first, like, 10 minutes, I said, oh, my God, she's no Judy. This is so awful. This is a bad, bad thing. How did they ever pick her? There were so many other actresses that looked like Judy. But then after about 10 minutes, all of a sudden she transforms into Judy. You forget it's Renee. You think you're watching Judy, just like Joaquin with the Joker, and you're just transformed, and you're like part of their family. She was amazing. And the last thing I'll say is, amazing as she was, I never saw Little Women, so I can't say about that. But, and Harriet, she was excellent, too. She deserved.
She was excellent.
Yeah, excellent. It was great, 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 great. But I think that Renee Zellweger would get it, but I wouldn't be unhappy if Harriet got it. But Scarlett Johansson, who I am mad about, couldn't stand her in Marriage Story. This way I couldn't stand Adam Driver. And I wasn't that impressed, even though everybody else was, with Charlize Theron in Bombshell.
I was. So my feeling is, I'm kind of agreeing with you, but altered a little bit. I think Renee Zellweger will go home with the Oscar for Judy, because she really does transform into Judy Garland. But I have to say, Charlize Theron was mesmerizing. I truly had to keep thinking, is that Charlize Theron, or is that what's her name? I can't think of the character's name. It's like, is that really her or Charlize Theron? I mean, it was. I thought that was an absolute amazing.
Megan
Kelly, or something like that. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. Whatever. So she's off television, so we can forget about her. But anyway, she really did. I mean, it really was an amazing transformation. So
you know what?
I
couldn't disagree with you more. I thought she looked like some other actress that we knew, some redhead that was married to a guy that was very dark. I don't remember. I didn't think any of them were good. I thought the whole Fox, the one with the Australian male actor, what's his name?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe's version of Roger Ailes was amazing compared to this. I thought this was lightweight. Nope, I don't want. She's not going to win. She's just not going to win.
Well, I agree with you. I think Renee will and should win. I thought I thought Cynthia in Harriet was amazing. I thought she was terrific.
She was great. That was a great movie, and it was so educational. People don't even realize those kind of movies, I think, are so important.
I'll say I learned so much about Harriet Tubman just from that film that I did not know before.
Right.
So I absolutely think it's not only but also it's a great story. I mean, it's not just educational, or it's a great story. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. Okay, next we have a performance by an actress in a supporting role, and in this case, they're right. These women are all supporting actresses.
Right.
They're not the lead, and so these five women capture what this category is about, as opposed to the five men in the supporting role part for men. So here we have Kathy Bates playing the mom in Richard Jewell. We have Laura Dern in A Marriage Story. We have Scarlett Johansson back again, but this time in Jojo Rabbit. Again, she's a supporting role character, plays the mom. Florence Pugh. P-U-G-H,
Who?
I have no...
Ho.
From Little Women,
yeah.
Ho, whatever, mm-hmm. And Margot Robbie in Bombshell. And all five of these women are supporting roles. And of these five, Lois, who's
all right, so here's my comment. I think their roles were so minor that I don't even think it's worthy of an award. I mean...
I don't agree with you.
Of them are on, like, they could learn their lines in an afternoon. They're on, they're off, and they get a supporting role. I mean, I didn't see the Kathy Bates one, so I can't tell you. But the rest of these, like, huh?
Kathy Bates is playing Kathy Bates again. I mean, she plays that Midwestern mom.
Right.
She's got that down cold, and she's doing it again there. She's perfect. She even looks like the character. But no, I'm not going for it. Laura Dern played Laura Dern again.
Right.
Scarlett Johansson was very good as the mom, but again, I just don't think it was an Oscar part. Florence, I didn't see Little Women, so I can't really judge on that one. I thought Margot Robbie was very good in Bombshell.
She was on for 3 seconds.
They were good 3 seconds, though.
All right.
I maybe would give it to her. Okay, Next, let's skip on to, in fact, before we go on to the bigger categories, I want to mention our sponsor. So we couldn't have Lying on the Beach without our wonderful sponsor, which is the Handle Stick. It's a must-have phone accessory that adds stylish jewelry and usability to your smartphone. Handle Stick is the, first of all, you know, Lois, I know you use it all the time. It's amazing. It attaches directly to the back of your existing smartphone case or the phone. So you don't even need a case, but if you have a case or any case, it'll stick to it. No need to switch cases. The handle utilizes a brace system, allowing the user to slip his or her hands through your fingers through the back part of it and effortlessly grip the phone. Whether you're speaking, texting, or taking selfies, it feels like the phone is floating in your hand. A handle allows for a complete one-handed use of your phone, frees up the other hand for multitasking. You can also use it as a kickstand, so you can keep your phone in the horizontal or landscape, portrait modes, either way. And because of the way it's constructed, you can still do wireless charging with it, so the charge will go right through the handle stick. There's more than 40 different styles, including animal prints, lots of colors, fun glittery ones, and a sophisticated carbon fiber pattern. The handle stick starts at just $10. I mean, it's amazing. And you can check it out at handlenewyork.com. And that's handle, H-A-N-D-L, New York spelled out, .com. So we want to thank Handle for sponsoring Lying on the Beach. And Lois, what are your thoughts about Handle? Any feedback you want to give?
No, I just heard that they can't get enough inventory for how many orders are being placed.
That's great.
They're really doing very, very well. They never, you know, projected that they would, you know, do so well immediately. Usually there's an education time, there's a transition time, there's a you know, selling the last 3 feet of the sale time. That didn't happen. They just came back from a trade show in Vegas in January, and the orders are piling in, and they're in a great position, you know, just to be an order taker and not have to sell it. And I've been using it, and I have to tell you, it's sturdy as can be. It's very handsome looking, and it's just like one of those things that you buy that you say to yourself, I am really enjoying this. Like, you know, you could feel that way about a pair of shoes,
and
a handbag. Yeah.
And it is like adding jewelry to your phone because it's really pretty.
Right.
And it's just a pretty accessory that kind of makes your phone stand out from anybody else's. So
well, Alan Hirsch of Handle really did it big this time.
And the price point is amazing. At $10 to $20, mm-hmm. you really can't go wrong. So,
and by the way, I'll just add the last thing is, even though it has an adhesive and it's on very sturdy, if you wiggle it enough, you know, you could get it off and put another one on, but it's not going to come off. You're not going to be using it, and it's just going to slide off. So it's just a magic adhesive that really is perfect for permanent and for temporary.
And it's not going to damage your phone or the case you're putting it on, which is so important. And again, that website is handle, H-A-N-D-L, newyork.com. Okay, let's get back to the Academy Awards. We should have background music, you know.
Well, do you want to talk about the awards show, or you want to go through more of the awards?
Let's go through more of these, and then we can wrap
ahead.
Up with the awards show.
Go
so
ahead.
Next is achievement in directing. I'm skipping a lot of categories. So next is directing. So the ones that are nominated, and again, this is very controversial because a couple were left out. That caused a lot of angst in Hollywood.
Right.
But Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for Joker, Sam Mendes for 1917, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. So those are the directors that are nominated. Now, of course, Little Women, which has got 10 nominees, but yet including Best Picture, but that woman director, and I cannot think of her name, but I'm sure maybe you can Google it while we're talking. She was not nominated, and everybody's in uproar over that, as they should be, because there are so few women represented in this category to begin with. Here you've got a Best Picture nomination, and the director is not being included in the mix, which I find really surprising from Hollywood. And there's some other controversies as well. I have a little controversy with Parasite. I don't think Parasite should be nominated in Best International Movie and in Best Movie. I just don't think that it should be like if you qualify for one or the other, you should be in one category or the other. But anyway, let's go back to directing. What are your thoughts, Lois?
Well, I don't know why Parasite is in there. I have no idea. Did anybody ever explain it?
I don't know. It's happened in years gone by where they throw a really good international movie, a foreign film, and then put it into the main mix with our picture.
They think it's a good movie, yeah.
But then they also put it into the international film. See, my feeling is if you're going to bump it to this category, you know, if you're going to put it into Best Picture and Best Director, then you can't put it in Best International because you're obviously, you know, moving it to the different category. You can't do both. That's how I feel. But anyway, looking at these, Martin Scorsese, Todd Phillips, Sam Mendes, Quentin Tarantino, and Bong Joon-ho, which do you think is going to walk away with the Oscar? Which do you think should? Which one do you think will?
I think should. It should be Joker because the whole scene and the way it was directed and the camera angles and how they captured the personality of the guy through the direction of how you looked at him, even in his little apartment to out in the streets, if that was the Bronx, they captured it perfectly the way the Bronx was when we were growing up with all the steps to get up the mountains and the hills there. I thought it was amazing. I don't think it will get it. I don't know. Maybe. Go ahead.
I think I may be wrong, but I have a feeling it'll be a surprise and Sam Mendes for 1917 will take the Oscar home with him.
And why do you think that?
It's an unusual movie from a director's point of view. It's happening. So it's a 2-hour movie that takes place in 2 hours. So it's 2 hours of real time. And in fact, they had to build the set to match the script because the characters had to go from point A to B to C to D in the exact time it takes. And they have to hit their lines and their interactions just as it would happen within the same 2 hours. So it's such a kind of an algorithm of math to make it all work out that I think it deserves like a special. I just think other directors will appreciate the intricacies of doing that, and that'll be why Sam will take home the Oscar. I might be wrong, but that's just my guess. It might be Martin Scorsese because everybody loves him so much. I just don't know.
Yeah. As far as Sam Mendes is concerned, I was expecting more from the camera. I think it would be A for effort, and that's why he'll get it. But I didn't say, oh my God, this has changed my life and all movies should be made this way. How do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, I think it was a clever kind of a gimmicky thing. And I like a gimmick, you know, once, not over and over again. And I think it probably should get a special nod. The other movies seem kind of very typical. And I don't know. I mean, I would be very surprised I think he might win, but I could easily see Martin Scorsese taking it. Or like you said, Joker's getting such buzz. You know, Todd Phillips may take it. I don't know. I would give it to Sam, I think.
So there'll be people that will think that Parasite should get it also. And they may give it to them just for the same reason why they're in this category. It was interesting because early summer, Ellie and I have an Asian friend, and she told us to go see this movie. And she doesn't usually recommend anything to us. So I was like, ooh, that's interesting. So when I saw it come out in Miami, which doesn't get the movies, you know, firsthand right away, sometimes, I said, oh, my God, it's here. We got to go see it. So Ellie and I were really one of the first people that I know that saw this movie early on. And it was a very good movie, but I think it got more PR than it deserves. It was interesting. It was, you know, it was fun. It was, you know, it wasn't like your typical movie, but I don't think it was brilliant. There are people that will be so angry at me. It just wasn't anything extraordinary other than it was an Asian movie. And you felt, you didn't see any, you know, it was a blur of whether they could have been American, they could have been European, they could, you know, been Asian. You know, for that sense, I thought it was so well done that it made me feel like I was an international person that didn't feel any boundaries and borders. I was very happy about that. But I don't know. I mean, there was one fabulous sex scene in there, and that's all I can remember. The rest of it was like crazy.
Okay.
I thought the okay. guy, I think the guy, the husband, with his sexual abilities of what he could do for a woman, he should give a how-to, you know, sex tape. And I think that would do very well, and I could do the PR for it. But other than that, it was great. I mean, it was okay, but not great.
Parasite 2, the sex tape. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, Parasite 2.
Okay. It's already, I'm sure the bigwigs are already having lunch about it in Hollywood.
I'm sure.
Okay, next. I mean, we're going to skip past documentary because you saw American Factory, correct?
Did I see American Factory? Yes, I did. Excellent.
Yeah, I think that's
excellent. That was great.
And that's gotten rave reviews. My guess is it's going to be the runaway winner, but the other ones are The Cave, Edge of Democracy, For Sama, and Honeyland. And I don't know what's I can't speak on this topic, so we're going to move on.
No, wait a second. I do want to say something. If there are any Trumpsters listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. American Factory, I mean, again, we all go about our lives. We all try to do the best we can. Even the people, you know, that don't achieve their dreams, they still lead, you know, somewhat of a decent life. When you see American Factory and you understand what's going on in the interiors of the United States, it's quite frightening. And it just lets you, and it's like some people have blinders on. Some people think this current administration is curing what American Factory is all about, and that this administration is not. What is curing the Midwest, as far as I'm concerned, is normal evolution and, you know, being cyclical. But it's, you know, we are unaware, you know, on the exteriors of the United States, how many factories are closing, what's happening to these people, how they get back up in action, and what happens, you know, to all of these people that just, you know, can't be entrepreneurs. They are who they are. And
right.
this administration is not helping them at all. It's pitiful, actually, when you watch this. You know, I could say so much more, but that's just my opinion. But I think it's worth, everyone should see this to understand, you know, what happened in Dayton, Ohio.
And my guess is that same buzz and sentiment is going to make that movie take home an Oscar. And maybe it'll get more people to watch it because it does get the Oscar.
Oh, by the way, that's right. This is Michelle and Barack
Obama. Michelle and Barack Obama's
Well, they're the investors. I'm not quite sure how they get connected because they say they have a production company, but they're not really producing.
Their names aren't listed. So if you look at the official list
yeah,
of who
I know,
would
not.
Pick up the Oscar, their names are not on it.
Well,
so
because this
I
is the way they
out.
Operate. But the husband and wife team or the partners or if they're brother and sister, they're very, very talented. And they captured the essence of life, you know, when you work for someone else, not in a senior position. I mean, it's scary. So anyway, you should go see it. Okay.
Okay, now comes our last category. Best motion picture, the best motion picture of the year. And the nominees are Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. So, Lois, those are the nominees.
No, I'd like you to go first.
Oh, putting me on the pressure here. So, I think, you know, I didn't see Ford versus Ferrari, so I don't know what that was good. But again, it doesn't have too many other nominees behind it, so I'm sure it won't win. I have a feeling, this is a tough, really tough one. I really think. It might be the Joker. I don't know why. There's something about that movie that I think is most memorable. It kind of sticks in your head. It might be 1917 that takes it. I don't think it'd be Parasite. Parasite will win in its category under international film, but it won't win under best picture in the big category, in my opinion. Marriage Story, I don't see winning. Little Women, the fact that the director wasn't nominated as Best Director is usually a very bad sign for winning Best Picture. Jojo Rabbit is such a interesting little movie, and basically, you know, seeing what Nazis are like from the eyes of a 10-year-old during World War II is absolutely very clever. It's almost like it's inside his head, and it's very different than any other movie up there. That might be an unexpected surprise win. And the Irishman is a classic take home the Oscar kind of award. It's got all the big names, the big director, big movie. So The Irishman might take it because it's a classic Oscar winning type movie. But despite what I just said, I think The Joker might take it. Those are my thoughts. Lois, what do you think?
Well, I think the only thing that comes to mind is whatever gets the nomination, I'm going to feel upset about, because I like so many different movies for so many different reasons. I don't know, you know, The Joker, this is the third time around, I think, for making The Joker. I think for that reason, it may not win. I think that, you know, Martin Scorsese might get it because, you know, the Academy just may want to give it to him. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be any of them. I just feel like this is going to be a pit in my stomach. Even when they win, I'm going to feel very bad for the others. It's just like, even though The Joker was outstanding, you know, people vote in weird ways. I don't know. This is a most popular contest. I don't know.
If you want a classic one that should win the Oscar, would be The Irishman. It's got all the big names. It's De Niro and all those folks. It's a Scorsese picture. It's so Hollywood, and it has that gritty Godfather-ish type feel that you'd think it's just a classic, give it the Oscar and go home. And it may be just that. Old school Hollywood, I'm sure, is going to be all for it. Jojo Rabbit is this little tiny picture, which, again, is inside the brain of a 10-year-old, and is kind of a fantasy comedy drama about Nazis and how a 10-year-old sees a Nazi. So it's very interesting. But The Joker is sort of like a hybrid. It's sort of a big Hollywood picture, but it also is kind of weird and counterculture at the same time. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see who actually does take home the Oscar.
Right. It's going to be an interesting night. But I hope that they do the awards where they focus on, you know, the movies and, you know, a lot of the entertainment or the silly jokes. It, I think, just takes away from the awards.
Well, there's
know,
no host.
People,
there's no
yeah.
host. So
yeah, I know.
There won't be a monologue. There'll be some opening number, I'm sure. And then each of the nominated songs will have someone sing it, which is kind of nice to mix into a show. And it'll go on forever, but it's usually good. You know, I usually like it because I've seen so many of the movies, so it's usually kind of a treat for me. But we'll find out the answers on February 9th on ABC TV. And do we have anything more to say on this?
No, I think that's a wrap.
I think it's a wrap, too. So once again, let us thank our sponsor. Thank you again to Handle Stick for making Lying on the Beach possible. Remember, it's the must-have phone accessory that adds stylish jewelry and usability to your smartphone. And once again, I am Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.
Bye.
See you in the movies.